Well, how good afternoon. No, no, with enthusiasm. Good afternoon. See, that went right with the prayer. Do you remember in the prayer what was said about enthusiasm? It's wonderful to see you all, and it's a delight to be here and a real honor to have this opportunity to speak with you today. Last night, I was very impressed with the message by Mr. Wazelkoff. I had a very restless night, though, tossing and turning and turning and tossing. And the reason was the announcement that Mr. Rainer Saloma made about how to tell the difference between Canadians and Americans. Canadians say A, and Americans say, huh. I don't say either. I'm a man without a country. In our conversations that we have, there's a lot of what ifs. A lot of what ifs in our conversations. And I'd like to talk about a few of them, just to start off today. You know, things like, what if there's no more war? What if there was no more AIDS? What if gasoline was cheap? What if there was no more crime or no more violence? What if cows could fly? I say that because I was in Montana several years ago and driving long, hard hours, pulled into a small gas station and a young fellow came out. I said, fill it up. And he said, you want your windows cleaned? I said, yes. They were spattered. It was like a stucco window I had there. He cleaned them off and took a long time. He came back to the side of the car to get the money and he said, you know what I'm glad of? I said, no, what? He said, I'm sure glad that cows can't fly. That's a true story. What if you inherited $50 million? Wow. What if you were digging in the backyard, your backyard, and dug up the largest diamond in the world? How would that change your life? Well, I want to ask you an even more important question, a very, very important question, a very thought-provoking question, and that is, what if Jesus Christ returned to the earth next week? Next week. Now think about that for a moment because it's a very serious question. Are we really ready for the return of Jesus Christ? Really ready for to be able to greet him and welcome him back? See, that'll be a magnificent day. It'll be a day of joy. A day of total joy. Well, when you think of being ready, I'm talking about, are we ready to do his will? Are we ready to obey him? Are we ready to serve the King of Kings? It's as simple as that. See, we don't know when Jesus Christ is going to return. No one knows when Jesus Christ is going to return. If you turn in your Bibles, and it'll probably be back behind me here if you don't want to turn, Mark 13 and verse 32, Jesus Christ gave some specific information. Mark 13 and verse 32, no one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven. No one knows, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. Jesus Christ wants us to be ready because no one knows. We have no idea. Following along with that, Jesus Christ in Matthew 24 warns us, therefore keep watch because you do not know what day your Lord will come. We of all people sitting here today should be enthusiastically ready and willing to greet Jesus Christ. No hesitation on anyone's part in this room. No one in this room should hesitate. Well, there are things that may be holding us back. As you thought of that question, the answer to that question when I asked you, are we ready? Maybe some things that are holding us back. Could it be our worldly attitude that we're out there in the world, we're surrounded by it day in and day out? Are we too contented with what our status in life? Too happy? You know, we don't want to ruffle the waters and the feathers. See, man is often inclined to be happy in doing his own thing. Proverbs tells us very succinctly, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Could it be, and think about this, could it be that we're not willing, totally, totally willing to get rid of some of our old baggage that we had when we came into the church? What am I talking about? Well, maybe we're holding on to some things like just a little lust, just a little bit of lust, not much, just a bit. Or maybe what we're doing, we're holding on to just a little bit of envy. Or could it be the fact that we're holding on to just a little bit of greed? Or we're holding on to a little bit of hate? Or could it be that we're holding on to just a little bit of lack of forgiveness? Lack of forgiveness. There's no question, absolutely no question, that Jesus Christ will return to this earth. There's absolutely none. The Bible states it emphatically that he'll come again and he will establish the kingdom of God. Not maybe or if, but he will. Well, how can we be truly ready? How can we be truly ready? Because one day there's going to be a shocking headline in your newspaper. You go to the front door, possibly, you pick up the newspaper or the mailbox and pull it out and you look up on the paper, and the headline says, Jesus Christ has returned. He's returned. That's not that far off, brother. It's not that far off. Well, how can we, you and I, be truly ready for Jesus Christ's return? Well, by starting to prepare ourselves now, today, not next week, not a year from now, today. It's fascinating to me that we're given instructions in the Bible, but unfortunately what we do is we only hear sometimes part of them. We miss out a word or a sentence. Because what we should be doing is we should be eagerly, excitedly, enthusiastically looking forward to the day. And we can do that by starting today. Listening to the messages, as Mr. Wazelkoff mentioned last night, we've got today and seven more days to hear a tremendous amount of information. We'll have the opportunity presented to us in six sermonettes, seven sermons, two split sermons, and we'll see a video. All of that compacted into information that's vital to us as God's people. We'll have the privilege of hearing and hearing encouraging, uplifting, and priceless God-inspired messages. That's what they are. And I prayed hard about this message because I have a feeling sometimes that we put God's laws and God's ways kind of on the shelf. Let it sit there a little bit. Or the fact that Jesus Christ, it's a long, long way. Maybe when my grandchildren are my age, he'll come back. No, that's not what we're told. Jesus Christ will return suddenly, quickly. The messages that we will hear, if we listen carefully to them, will help prepare us to have a closer relationship with God and Jesus Christ. Closer relationship. See, we can't be prepared properly for Christ's return on our own, brethren. We should go to God. We should ask God in prayer for help. James 4 tells us, it's a wonderful, one of my most favorite scriptures. We're told to draw near to God and he'll draw near to us. It's as simple as that. See, we should be asking God in prayer for more of his Holy Spirit, more strength, more faith, more courage, more wisdom, put all forms of sin out of our lives. And what we forget sometimes is that we think it goes on, life goes on forever. It goes on and on, but for some of us it won't. And the time that we have left, we should maximize. We should maximize to use every second that we possibly can and to put procrastination totally and completely out of our life. Not even to think about it. Not to stall for 1 minute or delay something, as such as study or prayer. The other thing, of course, that God encourages us to live in expectation. In expectation. In constant awareness for the return of His Son. Not just when we come to Sabbath services, not when we come to the feast, but every hour of every day, that is our only hope, brethren. When you look at the world, the shape it's in, that's our only hope. And we should be anxiously looking forward to it. Now I realize, without any question, that at times we may think it's impossible to be ready, to change as much as required, to be able to look Christ in the eye and welcome Him. But what we can do, of course, is we can keep in mind two scriptures that are very, very, very important. The first of these scriptures is Mark 9:23, and this is Jesus Christ speaking. Who better to listen to than Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ in Mark 9 and verse 23 says, if you believe, all things are possible to him who believes. The person who has faith and believes, all things are possible to him or her. And we're also told in Luke, and we're encouraged, of course, by these words, Luke 1 and verse 37, with God, nothing will be impossible. No matter how black things look or how gloomy or whatever the situation is in life for any one of us, everything is possible with God. Something that is on my mind and I want to share with you, because we were asked last night how many of us were here for the first time. I, like Howard Davis, was in that jungle tent with the lights popping and the grass turning sour, and I wasn't in the church yet. I was kind of watching over my wife, and I thought, and God picked this place. I thought, boy, He's got a great sense of humor. But I wanted to say this to you, and I wanted to come across in a friendly way, in a sincere way, that you'll understand that I mean no malice by saying this. The feast is not a social gathering. The feast is not a holiday. The feast is not a spending binge or an eating binge. They're holy days. They're opportunities to learn, to grow stronger, to know each other. See, we're given the privilege and the opportunity to be taught and to learn so that we can be truly ready for Jesus Christ's return. Not partially ready or almost ready, but totally and truly ready for His return. I want to ask you a question. Think now about this. What if we actively, each one of us actively, put into practice all that we hear at the services at this feast and make a total commitment to follow through with them? Okay, that might be a little tough for you, okay? And me too. But what if we put into practice just one thing that we hear in either a sermonette or a sermon in our lives, put it into our lives, into our values, into the principles we live by? Now God has given us the opportunity. He's brought us here, each and every one of us. The speakers are ready. They're enthusiastically ready to communicate to you God's word. The choice to do or not do what we hear is up to you, and to you, and to you, and to you, and to you. Let's not waste a wonderful opportunity that God's provided us with. What if we leave the feast after 8 days, 8 inspiring days, as a better Christian than when we arrived? Think about that. A better Christian than when we walked in. See, this is a challenge. If you were a team, and I was talking to you as a team, I would be prepared to present this to you as a challenge, a direct challenge. Is it going to be difficult Yes, it is. If it wasn't difficult, this room would be overflowing with people. We'd have people pounding on the door, let me in, let me in. But they don't like to do the tough things, like keeping God's laws and obeying God. Whether we can meet this challenge or any of the others that we face in life, it's all based upon one scripture that I absolutely live by. And that is that all things are possible with God. We can keep every commandment. We can obey every law. We can do exactly what we hear in the messages and put them into life and have happier lives if we have God with us and we're with God. Wouldn't it be exciting when you pull out of the parking lot on your way home on the last great day or the following day? Wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to say that each of us now is better prepared, and we are now truly ready for the return of Jesus Christ, our coming Lord and King? Please think about that.